Well, welcome to the situation report for March 18th, 2024. It's Lieutenant Colonel Murray. Another day with 30 minutes of cursory IT setup. I had a little AC/DC shoot the thrill. And it started playing before I had a chance to pick music. So we got AC/DC today. I loaded a bunch of songs. I was going to go through a couple before the show. Yeah, it just doesn't work out that way. And then I couldn't get my wife to work. So it is what it is. Another day. There is a ton of craziness going on. And if you've read the book, Pawns in the Game, you would probably realize that there is a culmination point ahead of us where all of these different lines of effort coalesce. And you've heard me, you've heard Colonel Conrad, you've heard Troop, you've heard Matt, and Matt Everett, as well as Colonel Piper talking about this, that all of these things will happen at once. And you've also heard me say in several instances that there will be legalization of just about everything that they can legalize, or at least they can sell to be legal to the American public. Today, a federal judge ruled that illegals can carry firearms. When was the last time in American history that you heard a judge say that illegals can carry firearms? Never, never have you heard it. And in every instance that you're going to see in the coming weeks, and the TikTok ban slash law slash malfeasance is more of the same: legalizing criminality, legalizing the delegation of authority by the federal government to silence opponents. And look, let's be very clear about what's coming. They are going to take social media platforms offline. They are going to arrest political opponents. They're going to kill political opponents using death squads. They are going to do some kind of an attack in the urban areas. They are going to use military age males to do some kind of disruption, some kind of infrastructure destruction, interdiction, however you want to look at it. They are going to destroy critical infrastructure to justify using martial law, to justify not having an election. And where Colonel Conrad and I differ, where most of the rest of the roundtable crew differs, is the fact that I think it's going to be sooner. And I think it's going to be sooner because now you're hearing rumblings of what I was talking about back in January. Everybody thought I was high when I said it. But I've looked at a lot of different indicators. And when you backward plan from Event 201 and you look at where Event 201 took place and when the pandemic took place, we're right in the window. And we're right in the window for some kind of an event. They know they cannot sell another pandemic. They know they can't. So they have to pivot and move to something else. And they're going to pivot to something that is going to be, you know, way more, in my mind, way more catastrophic than 9/11 ever was. Why do I say that? Because they've lost control of the cultural narrative. They've lost control of social media. They've lost control of the alternative media disrupting their plans. It is no coincidence that the moment something comes out in social media, and the lag time between something being called a conspiracy theory and being declared real used to be about 6 months to a year. Now it's about 6 minutes. And you can thank guys like Alex Jones for that, who came out and said they're going to do lockdowns again. They're already starting to brief the TSA, and they're already starting to brief DHS. By outing that plan, he completely disrupted it. And we need to keep doing that, as well as we need to continue disrupting all of their media to the point where they cannot continue to gaslight the public. That's the mission at hand. And we need to out the deep dark. Look, I got a bunch of, I don't want to say hate mail because it's not really hate mail. It's really people expressing frustration because they think that we should be kicking doors in DC and we should be shooting people. Remember, this is an information war and this is a marathon. If we succumb to the Civil War narrative and we start a civil war, they get what they want. If somebody goes off the reservation and goes after an elected official, they get what they want. If we go after elected officials and we don't do it the right way, they get what they want. In every single instance, information right now is more powerful than any kinetic activity can be. Because once the kinetic starts, everything stops. They want a slow burn and people to sign up. Remember, they don't have the numbers to run and control the entire planet. They have to do everything on the DL, and they have to keep everybody in the dark. The only way for us to disrupt their operations and drive them to do something stupid is to continue to out their plans. Look, I know everybody's frustrated. They want to get on with it. Trust me, I have my days where, like, let's just get on with it. Let's take a bottle of whiskey and a 45 and let's go down to legislature and let's just take care of business. Everybody wants to do that. But they're not the people that are calling the shots. They're just the figureheads. They're just the faces. They're just the people that are sitting there that are clicking the buttons to say agree or disagree. They're not the people making the decisions in the background. This is institutional money that has been around for generations. And the lunatics are running the asylum. As a family member, and you know how it is. You know, you go through 10 different versions of the same clone. Pretty soon, the genetic material starts to wear out, and you get worse and worse clones. Well, guess what? When you have inbred families, over time, they get less and less sane and more crazy. And guess what? Who are you going to go after? The thing we need to do right now, the thing that's most important right now, number one, be prepared. Number two, increase your sphere of influence in your line of sight. Think outside the box. Everybody, this is one of the downfalls of all of our the last 10 years in social media. People have forgotten how to be visceral. They've forgotten how to do interpersonal relationships. That's by design. They want you disconnected. They want you feeling alone. They want you to feel like you're isolated, and you're not. Trust me, I'm in Seattle, and I've been driving around looking at pink and blue hair for the last 4 days. And I can tell you that even with the number of liberals here, there are still tons of conservatives. And somebody approached me this morning. I was at a fast food place of all places, and I got out of my truck, walked in the restaurant, and literally somebody walked up to me and said, "Colonel Murray, thanks for what you're doing. A lot of people listening to you here." I was shocked. Actually, I was flabbergasted. And she could tell because my mouth was open. I was just shocked. And I can tell you that there are tons of conservatives all over the place. And they're all talking about it. In fact, one of my cousins works in the state apparatus here. And we were talking over the weekend. I went to my aunt's funeral. And that's another thing, too, is you should be making connections with your family. And you should be making connections with your friends. Because you never know who you can trust when this all kicks off. And if you go back to the American Revolution, you will see that the very same problem that we have right now existed in 1773 through 1780. They didn't know who was loyal to the crown. They didn't know who was loyal to the revolution. And they had to watch their words very, very carefully. We're in the same situation. This is no different than the American Revolution. The only difference is the technology and the means of communication, and the speed at which communication happens. But it's still the same problem. Those loyal to the government and those that are not loyal to the government. And that will bear fruit when we get into the heat of it. But right now, preparing, figuring out alternate communications, social media goes down, figuring out who your allies are, figuring out who around you is supportive and not supportive, increasing your sphere of influence, your line of sight, very, very important. And I can't stress that more. And that brings me to the point that I was actually going to make earlier. And that is, everybody thought I was crazy saying that April 8th was going to be a significant date. And literally last week, Oklahoma said they're going to activate National Guard for the solar eclipse because they're expecting some kind of an event. I would agree. Some kind of an event is possible, highly probable on April 8th, because they love key dates. They love the astrological events. It's baked into the cake with these people. So I'm not discounting that something's going to happen. In fact, I'm pretty sure, I'm betting that there probably will be some kind of activity on that day. But, you know, I could be wrong. But it's better to be ready and hedge your bet than be caught flat-footed. And do I think they're going to do another October 7th attack here? Absolutely I do. I don't trust these people any farther than I can throw them. And given the amount of chatter, like this morning, Colonel Conrad and I had a conversation about something I've heard about a year ago and dismissed. But now I'm hearing it again, so now I'm starting to pay attention to it. And that is, they're called pop-up cities. And they're basically urban training areas where they're training illegals, which is why the ruling on firearms and illegals or in immigrants, is the best way to put it, is so important, because they need an army. And as they lose more and more control, they're going to need a bigger and bigger army. And it would make sense that they would have training areas for these military age males. And supposedly there's one outside of Phoenix and there's one outside of Dallas. And in fact, I'm pretty sure I know where the one outside of Phoenix is, but I'm going to go run it down when I get back on the ground. And in any case, that's highly, highly probable that those exist. And there's probably more locations around the U.S. And as Colonel Conrad and I were talking about just before the show, we need to get eyes on and figure out where these things are concentrated, because that'll tell us where the enemy center of gravity is. That'll tell us where the enemy's concentrating most of their forces. So the homework for each and every one of you is to figure out where these things are, where these operations are, where these pop-up cities are. A, do they exist? B, where do they exist? And then to isolate on a map where they are so people can get eyes on them. You want to disrupt their operations? Out, get some film of them training and mobilizing military-age males, and I guarantee you that will disrupt their operations. And that's going to be vitally important, having eyes on this stuff moving forward. The other piece, too, is you're starting to see, so there's two problems right now with the, let's just say there's two problems with the economy, one of which is they can't lower rates. And they're going to try and gaslight everybody, because I think the meeting's tomorrow on the 19th, where they talk about raising rates or lowering rates, the Fed's rate for borrowing money. And the problem is they can't lower rates because it will drive a bigger and deeper recession than we're already in. And they're going to try and tell us that inflation isn't that bad, but go to the store. I was at the store 2 days ago, and those 2 days ago were $250. So yeah, Colonel Conrad just texted me, thanks Dave, that we definitely need to know who's training these people. If this is American troops, if this is CIA, if this is foreigners, we need eyes on these pop-up cities. In fact, I want to know who it is. So that if that's real, that puts a whole new dynamic in what's going on. And let me just paint a picture for everybody that's not military. We're training foreign troops, arming foreign troops that are not U.S. citizens on U.S. soil. I want to know who the fuck signed up to do that. And I want to know why. This is not just going to be good enough, because it won't be military doing it. It's going to be a private contractor. And I want to know exactly who it is. And I'm sure they've been sold a bill of goods as probably some foreign military like Niger or one of those other African countries, or even China. But either way, or it's a collaboration. It doesn't matter what the catalyst is. But if it is, we need to run it to ground and figure out who's running the show and who's there being trained and how many and where they are. So if you're in a big city, start looking. It'll be outside the city. It won't be in the city proper. And probably 10, 15 miles out of the city, major cities, St. Louis, Seattle, San Francisco. And the Bay Area is a very, very big place. Very big place. They can hide the damn thing anywhere. But what this shows is that we're moving closer and closer to critical mass. We're moving closer and closer to the culmination point. As I've said for the last 2 months now, we are on the event horizon. And I think there's going to be multiple events, but I think there's going to be one major event. And I think this one major event is going to be something that they architect, or at least that they precipitate. And it's going to be a natural disaster of some magnitude, whether it's earthquake, whether it's tsunami, whether it's both, that there's something out there on the horizon. Because I'm starting to hear it more and more from different from different sources and different locations, which is interesting to me because normally you don't hear about stuff, and when you do, you discount it. But somebody sent me Ben Fulford stuff. I think it was a week ago. It was before the 15th, so it had to be on the 8th, where he was talking about this exact same thing. There's going to be a major event. There's going to be, if you hear howling in the background, that's my kid's dog. So every time my kid leaves, the dog freaks out. But there's going to be some kind of an event. Everybody can feel it. Everybody knows it. And trust me, I was in a very diverse crowd on Saturday for the memorial service, and everybody was talking about it. Even my 86-year-old uncle was talking about it. Everybody knows something's coming. Everybody knows something's on the horizon. So that's more than enough right there for you to be prepared and to have your wits about you. I can't stress that enough. Being prepared is the best thing you can do for yourself. And most people, and I will tell you that there's a lot of people that are blissfully unaware, but of the probably the 20 or 30 people I talked to over the weekend, I can tell you that all of them are starting to prepare right now. And, you know, Troop says 15 gallons of water, you know, per person, or 5 gallons of water per person per day. That's an estimate, but you should take heed and have some water, some food on hand, and not the dried food, the wet food, canned food, etc. And this is another amazing thing. I am shocked at how much food people throw out because they look at a date. The dates on food is nonsense. My parents used to keep cans in the cupboard for years. And my dad and my mom both would do the same thing. They'd look the can over if it was a couple of years old and make sure there was no bubbles in it, open it up and smell it. And most of the time, it's just fine. So I'll just tell you that dates don't mean a hell of a lot. And you should be paying attention to what you're opening. And you should know how to check for botulism, et cetera. It's a very, very distinct smell. Once you smell it the first time, you'll never forget it. But again, our culture, it's been bred out of our culture. And it's been bred out of our culture so people abide by whatever BS is thrown in front of them. And it's amazing how effective that is. Absolutely stunning. But having those conversations over the weekend, it was very apparent that there's a lot of people that are starting to pay attention. They just don't know where to pay attention to. And I probably recommended, I don't know, 10, 12 people to my show over the weekend. One was at a grocery store, which was cracking me up. I stopped in my one of the towns in Washington just to get some water and had a 5-minute conversation while I was standing there. It just cracks me up because everybody knows something's coming. And a lot of people don't have any idea where to look. They just don't. And anyway, I could drone on and on about that, but you get the point. Be as prepared as you can be. Expect anything. Keep your head on a swivel. And most importantly, you should be armed by now. If you're not, and you don't have any ammo, and it's probably too late. But if you don't have a firearm, you should have one. Don't have ammo, get some. Good friends and bullets. Where are they when you need them? So the other thing that's going on is there's a bigger, wider conversation right now about free speech, and about how social media companies interact with the government. And the Disinformation Bureau that over a year ago was publicized, outed, and essentially shut down in the press didn't go away. They just rebranded it and moved it under somebody else so they could obfuscate it, and created a public-private partnership so they could hide from the FOIA requests. But I guarantee you it is still alive and well, which is why this conversation is going on. But the real reason that the real reason why the TikTok bill was even put on the floor was because of all the negative press that Israel has been getting since the start of this, and the pro-Palestine movement that has been gaining more and more, let's just say, traction since it all started. And I said that on October 9th is when the Israelis lost that war. They lost the information war when that hospital was bombed because their messaging was mixed. The deep fakes and the even the bad fakes were way better than what the Israelis put forward. And whoever was running their information campaign was definitely the B team, because they had an opportunity to win or at least be ahead in the information war and leverage the Western media to sell their information war. But instead, they sent out mixed messages and they got completely owned by the Palestinians and Hamas. And it's unfortunate for them because that groundswell has been growing and growing and growing. But the one thing that's interesting about the information war in the Middle East right now is that no one is biting. Iran's not biting, Saudi Arabia's not biting, Jordan's not biting, and most importantly, Hezbollah is not biting. There's conflict going on. There's skirmishes going on, but there's not a wider war. And Israel desperately wants a wider war. And so does the administration, and so does Iran. And that should tell you, there's a myriad of countries that could have done something, especially Turkey, because I was waiting for Turkey to jump into this and lead the charge for the Arab world. But Turkey went a different route. Erdogan's a smart dude. Erdogan decided instead of fighting the information war, he would go and he would build consensus among the Arab countries, and he would start to build a coalition outside of NATO, outside of Israel, outside of the U.S., and he would start to build autonomy in the region. That is more dangerous to both NATO, the U.S., and Western Europe than anything else they could have done kinetically, because the information war doesn't affect the Arabs the same way it affects the U.S. and Europe. See, one thing about the Arabs that I loved is the fact that they know their history, they know our history, and their news hounds. They will go and ferret out five or six stories to figure out what's really true about something they see in Al Jazeera or in AP before they make a decision, and then they'll go discuss it in their community, and they'll get to a consensus in their community. And that is one of the best ways to disrupt propaganda, because only one person has to come in and say, no, I found this article, and they'll all go read it and figure out if it's true or not. And in my mind, that's a more powerful disruptor for the information flow out of Israel than anything else. And where they placed it was in TikTok, which is very interesting, because TikTok is one of those, you know, that's just a toxic shithole of stupid. And that toxic stupid was on Twitter for the longest time. Elon Musk calls it the mind virus, which I agree with. But TikTok is different, because when you go to China, TikTok's all about STEM and math and science. And here it's about eating Tide Pods and, you know, letting your car roll down the street and drive while you dance outside your car to some stupid music. A totally different message. But the Arabs have used it to rally the entire Arab community around the Palestinian situation. And it only takes a few to create a groundswell. And that groundswell creates a tidal wave. And that tidal wave creates a tsunami. And that's exactly what happened in Israel. That tsunami literally blew up in their face. And in any instance, what you're seeing is the downstream effects and the panic that comes out of the fact that they realize they've lost the information war. They realize they're losing the cultural war. They realize they've lost the social narrative, the cultural narrative, and the information narrative. No one trusts the mainstream media. No one trusts the politicians. No one trusts the oligarchs. No one trusts the New York, the Washington, D.C., the London, or the Davos elite at all. That is a massive shift in culture because, and I don't remember who said it today. Somebody said it today. It was Jim Willie said it, that more and more people are aware of the elite's plan and what he calls a cabal. I'm not sure that's a good accurate description for it, but more and more people are awake to that now, which is an existential threat to them. They've always relied, the elite have relied forever and ever and ever on gaining our compliance. They have always maneuvered us either emotionally or they maneuver us with a catalyst event emotionally, but they've always driven us through a boogeyman to support whatever stupid thing they put in front of us. So over time, the children of the elite, the children's children of the elite have come to realize, come to believe that all Americans and all, you know, all normal citizens are stupid, which is why you're seeing these crazy oscillations and this crazy gaslighting. They only have one or two plays in their playbook and they're out of ideas. And it's because those ideas have worked forever and ever. And somebody said Pawns in the Game is 70 years old. It absolutely is 70 years old, but they use the same playbook over and over and over again. And if you ever listen to War of the Worlds, the radio version, you can still find it. I think you can still find it on Amazon. You can still find it on Apple. If you go listen to that, that galvanized every intelligence agency around the planet in the 30s because it scared the hell out of everybody because they thought it was real. And they realized that if we have a boogeyman and people are scared, we can manipulate them into accepting almost anything. And that's what they rely on. They're relying on you to comply with whatever they put in front of you, whether that's eating bugs, whether that's walking away from meat, accepting alternative energy, accepting the fact that they're going to turn off gas and you can't drive a gas-driven car. They'll use legislation to make it legal, but it doesn't mean it's legal. That's why mass noncompliance is probably the most effective thing we can do to disrupt their plan short term. And the whole intent here, and I'm speaking to specifically a couple of folks that flamed me over the weekend because I'm not in Washington, D.C. busting heads. The best thing we can do as a society to disrupt all their plans and to take back control of our country is mass noncompliance. If we stop the flow of food, if we stop the flow of water, if we stop the flow of logistics across this country and hunker down for a week or two, they will capitulate because they can't police everybody. They can't arrest everybody. They rely on fear to manipulate you. They rely on fear to gain your compliance. And I've said before, that's why I end a lot of my shows with cut the fear out, cut the emotions out. Because, yeah, are good people going to die? Yes, they do. They always do in war. But does it mean everybody going to die? Potentially. They've tried to start a nuclear war now for over a year, and it hasn't worked out for them. Why? Because somebody's figured out that technically that's mostly bad. And at some point, somebody who's asked to burn the bridge they're standing on is going to say no. And you're starting to see that more and more. Mass noncompliance is way better than kinetic. Because when kinetic stops, no more Starbucks, no more steaks, you're starving. A lot of people die in very short order because logistics stops. The most effective thing we can do in mass is to shut down everything they need. And look, they can go hunker down in a bunker for 1 or 2 years. They can live off dehydrated Bitcoin and bullshit for 2 years. Let them do it. You blow up an air shaft, they suffocate. You get enough people to go in there and rip the doors off, they don't live in a bunker anymore. But all of that has to happen as a united country. It can't happen as individuals. And that's the problem with this conversation about Kinetic. They can go after one or two people. In fact, they're going after anybody that was there on January 6th. They're going after people that are making death threats against sitting politicians right now. That has no effect on them. What has effect on them is that the builder class, the people listening to me right now, stop building shit for them. Stop delivering shit for them. Stop serving them food. Stop doing everything for them. These people don't know how to do anything. The only thing they create their whole life is bullshit. They don't know how to do anything. When you take that away from them, they're fucking lost. Most of them can't even read a fucking compass. It doesn't take a lot to disrupt their plans. It's like somebody was saying, we should go blow up data centers. Why? You don't need to blow up a data center to stop information flowing. There's a lot of ways, and this is something that we talk about all the time, right? And this is some, so I spent years looking at all the different ways the enemy could break it off in our ass. And it doesn't take very long to figure out there's a lot of key nodes out there that are completely unprotected that they could go after that would bring us to our knees inside of an hour. You cut off a few junctions in a city and critical points in the city, critical movement points in the city, especially on freeways, guess what? Full fucking stop. You have to think outside of Kinetic, because Kinetic gives them what they want. Mass noncompliance gives them everything they don't want. It gives them a united population. It gives them people noncompliant. It gives them masses of people that are ungovernable. It gives them a negative message with whatever action they take. If they shoot people, they lose. If they go after and arrest people, they lose. If they cause too much strife and too much chaos, guess what? Their houses get burned to the ground. Or worse, they disappear at a stoplight. Are you starting to get the bigger picture here? Kinetic is the absolute last thing that you want to do. We don't want to burn the bridge we're standing on in order to preserve it. We want to be able to run these people out of office, to out every single one of them, and then we want to show the public what they've really been doing in the background. That is way more effective than a bullet to the head. And the other piece of that equation is Washington, D.C. is a fucking armed camp. There is no way you're going to take any sizable force in there unless it's brigade or above with lots of equipment and lots of bombs to be able to take that place in one go. So you have to think way larger than just tar and feathering people, because that's not going to do the trick. These people, the one thing these people hate the most is the light of day, and that people know what they've done in the darkness. That's the one way we get to them, and we get right to their heart. A fucking pinprick will go right through their heart if it's information they don't want out. Look at what's happening to the royal family right now. Princess Kate has been out of public eye for 91 days. Everybody's like, she's fucking dead. Why is that important? It's important because they have to come up with a story on the fly that the public, that they can get the public to believe. Everybody thinks they killed her. Guess what? Really bad messaging. What happens when you have bad messaging after bad messaging after bad messaging? Pretty soon, then the natives get restless. People start disappearing at stoplights. You start to see the bigger picture. We're in an information war. We're not in a kinetic war. And we don't want this to go kinetic, because a lot of innocent people will die as collateral damage, which is exactly what these motherfuckers want. The best thing we can do is out every single thing they're doing. That goes from what Whitney Webb is doing, outing all the relationships at the business and the corporate level, as well as at the domestic level and the legislative level, all the way down to the city level of what they're doing. And it doesn't take much research to figure that out. They're going after the water supply. They're going after taxes. They're raising taxes. They've weaponized the IRS. There's a lot of places you can go right now and ferret out information that will out these people. But the ones we want the most are the deep dark, the institutional money that's behind all these guys like Dan Crenshaw, coming out saying that intelligence agencies aren't weaponizing social media. Okay. All right, Benedict. that they haven't been doing that for 4 years. And we already know that you've got a big Chinese cock up your ass, as well as, you know, a defense industrial complex down your throat. So just do us a favor and stop talking, you one-eyed fucking ghoul. My God. You listen to these people talk and you realize how soulless these retards are. And they think they're invincible, but they're not. Because at some point, it's like the election. At some point, all of this is going to come home to roost. And they're trying to, look, they're trying to guide us into a culmination point that they control. What I'm trying to tell you is, if you're ungovernable right now, and you out them right now, it's going to disrupt their ability to do that when the time comes. And they're going to have to make different decisions than what they wargamed on the fly. And we already know they're not good at that. They're terrible at it. And the more we do that, the more that we are able to drive their operations into the ground, the better off the public at large is going to be. Because they're not going to have the same effect, and they won't be as effective as they could be if they have time to plan, they have time to mobilize resources, and they have time to pivot. You know, Georges Patton used to say, be aggressive against your enemy. And I agree with that statement wholeheartedly. You keep them off balance, and you keep them on the move, and you keep them retreating. And pretty soon you win the war. We can do that through information without having to fire a shot. We can do that through mass noncompliance without having to fire a shot. And most importantly, we can do that by outing the deep dark that's funding all of this. That's where the rubber meets the road. Who is financing Dan Crenshaw? Who's his biggest donors? Who's the people he hangs out with? Who's the people that have put him in power? And not the rumor mill, real information. His donor roles, his affiliations. You'd be surprised what you can find out by looking at somebody's donor roles. It's pretty amazing. So can we get off the kinetic, please? It's not going to help. There's going to be time for that. They will try and drive that outcome. You think all these military age males are going to sit on their hands forever? No. They want to put them in uniform. They want to use them against the American public. We have to find these pop-up cities. We have to find out who's running them, who's training them, and out every fucking one of them. That's what we can do right now. You pick up a weapon, you shoot somebody, all bets are off. There's no win-win there. Trust me, I've lived through that. Watch people vaporized by IEDs. Watch people blown hundreds of feet by explosives. Watch people ripped apart by bullets, literally ripped apart by 50 cal bullets. That's not something you want your kids to see. That's not something you want to see if you can help it. And here's the kicker to all of this. Once you get into kinetic, somebody has to bring you back to humanity. Somebody has to be around that's connected with humanity, because you can lose that very quickly. I've said this before, and it's worth repeating. You drive through the same neighborhood, one of your guys gets shot, nobody sees anything, nobody knows anything. I guarantee you, you walk out of that neighborhood, you're going to want to be dropping JDAMs on it. Like, all right, you don't want to see anything? I'll blow up a couple houses. We'll see what you saw then, motherfucker. But every one of my guys that gets blown up, guess what? I'm going to blow up 20 of yours. That's where that comes from. It comes from that visceral anger of watching people die for no reason and nobody wants to stand up. That's why guys like Kid Rock can say, we'll go kill 20,000 of your people for one of ours. That's where that comes from. It's visceral anger from watching somebody you care about killed. And you think it's not going to affect you? It will. It takes years and years of counseling to process through some of that. And what I saw was a microcosm compared to what other soldiers saw. And those guys are on the streets. Those guys are committing suicide because they can't even process what they saw. You really want to bring that into the U.S.? You really want that things to go kinetic and go that way? I don't. I don't want my kids to live through that. I'd rather solve this by driving the system to collapse and then putting people in office that understand selfless service and then holding everybody accountable that was a part of this, even if it takes 100 years. Because that way, nobody else has to die. Nobody else is going to die from the vaccine. Nobody else is going to die from kinetic. Nobody else is going to die from an unnecessary war. And we as a society can move forward and build something that we want to live under versus what we have now, which is abject corruption. It's why the conversation about religion is such a red herring. It's why I don't want to have that conversation, because everybody's got their belief system. Everybody thinks they're right. And ultimately, all that you get to, especially when it comes to religion, is conflict. And there's no, that's not the fight right now. The fight right now is against the pedophiles that are running this country, the pedophiles that are running Europe. They're the ones driving all this right now. And it's not the pedophiles that are in public view. It's the pedophiles that are not in public view, that have done some really heinous things. That's the enemy. Every time we fight amongst ourselves, they win. Every time that we buy it into one of the narratives, they win. Every time that we drive something kinetic, they win. We have to stay out of that fray, because the more we do, the more it disrupts their operations. And I'm all about disrupting their operations. Just like I'm all about making sure that they can't fund anything. If that means that 90% of the country stops paying taxes, so be it. Can't arrest everybody. Can't foreclose on everybody. They can try. But after about third or fourth house, they show up with a SWAT team that's like got IRS on there. They're going to meet 200 or 300 Bubbas. That's how that game's going to be played. And it hasn't started yet, but they're going after people. It hasn't picked up yet. But you get the point. And it's worth discussing that. It's worth pointing out right now. And the other part of it is, people talk to me about organizing. Let's talk about organizing. Organizing doesn't mean that you go out to the range every week and you shoot. Or you clear buildings. That's not the point of organizing. The point of organizing is to figure out who in your community, who in your sphere of influence has skills and capabilities that are complementary to everybody else in the group, so that you have all the bases covered when things start to run out and things start to stop. Or worse, there's a natural disaster. Do you have a medic? Do you have a mechanic? Do you have a carpenter? Do you have a plumber? Do you have an electrician? All those things matter. All those hard skills, those blue-collar skills that college professors make fun of, guess what? Those are the builders. Those are the people that actually do things. College professors, and you've heard me say this before, and if you're a college professor, then I want you to listen to what I'm about to say to you, because I mean this wholeheartedly. You don't know how to do the square root of shit. Operationally, you are a fucking soup sandwich, and you should not be in charge of men going to a fucking bathroom with diarrhea. Every single academic I've ever worked with, whether it was in DOD, in academia, or in the school system, was all the same. You are a walking clusterfuck. Stay out of a leadership position. And if that hurts your fragile snowflake ego, go fuck yourself. Because every single one of you are the reason why we are fucking here. You, lawyers, legislators, and politicians. Every single one of you. You're a good idea fairy. And you know what you do when you step off the line of departure? You fucking shoot the good idea fairy. Sorry, I had to say that, because academics piss me off to no end. They always have a good idea, but it always turns into a raging cluster in about 10 seconds after line departure. And right now, the people that are going to pull us out of this, it's not going to be academics. It's not going to be politicians. It's not going to be guys like me. It's going to be builders. It's going to be people that can think outside of the box and come up with solutions when all the right things aren't there. People that know how to do things on the fly and can be creative and adaptive. That's who's going to pull us out of this. Because I don't know if it's dawned on everybody, but guess what? We don't build anything. We get everything from China. All of our industry, everything that we've built over the last 50 years has been from another country. Very few things are built here in the country. Very few. And when we get to brass tacks and the logistics stop and the parts flow drops and the money's not worth anything, it's going to be some very creative people to carry us through this. And that is until we get our, you know, we pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and rebuild our industry. That's the only way we're going to get out of this. It's not going to be an academic that does it. And sorry, I was responding to an academic that told me that I didn't know what I was talking about over the weekend. And look, I know a lot of PhDs. One of them's a very, very good friend of mine. But he's probably one of the only PhDs that I know that knows how to do anything operational. But he'll tell you he's not good at it. He's good at holding people accountable, but he's not good at operations. He's the first guy to tell you that. I don't know any other academics in my circle that would ever admit that. One of them would go to his deathbed and still think that he was a great operator. Yeah, whatever, dude. Smoke another bowl. But you get my point. And the other part of this, and the other reason why I amped up when I'm talking about academics is you have to get past your ego and check your ego at the door when all this kicks off. Because you're going to have to make decisions and you're going to have to deal with resources that you thought were going to be abundant that will not be. And I hate to say it, but if they're able and we're not able to disrupt them, and the elite are able to culminate and bring all those lines of operation together at one time, it's going to be very difficult for us to push them back. Which is why it's so important now to disrupt everything they're doing. And it's also the reason why you got to stop looking at people with these preconceived notions about how or who or what they are. And I'll use here's an example. I had a guy, a mechanic in my battalion, that this guy could listen to anything and figure out exactly what was wrong with it. And was he the smart, sharpest tool in the shed? No. But you put this guy in front of anything mechanical and he could figure it out and fix it in no time. Our society is filled with people like that. But they don't get the time of day and they don't get the light of day because there's this hierarchy. Again, academics that have convinced probably seven generations, you have to have a college degree, you have to be white collar, otherwise you're not shit. And some of the richest guys I know never went to school. These guys are guys that started construction companies, they started plumbing companies, they started HVAC companies. These guys are millionaires because they just hunkered down, they went to work, and they started to do things in a very rational and methodical way. And guess what? Their company started to grow. Now they have hundreds of employees and they're extremely rich. One of my good friends owns a construction company and he's been in the business 30 years. He doesn't need to work at all. Doesn't need to do anything. And I have another friend that worked at Microsoft for years and years. The guy's not a pilot, but owns like 10 airplanes, which I can't. He owns a bunch of motorcycles, doesn't ride motorcycles. And you put those two guys together, and I would take the first over the second anytime. He's got loads of common sense. He thinks outside the box. He's always looking at the situation for what's best for the people around him, especially his employees. And he doesn't mix words. And every time I'm around him, I learn something every time. He says the same thing about me, but I find that hard to believe considering how much common sense this guy has. And I've known this guy 30 years, and he's one of the smartest guys I know and does not have a college degree. And he has built an amazing, amazing company and takes care of everybody around him. It's just how he rolls. So we don't need to look for an academic or a PhD or a politician to lead us through this. We just need to listen to the people around us that have capabilities, which is why your sphere of influence is so important. Because you're building capability. You're building force multipliers in your community. You're not trying to build a strike force. You're trying to build capability. Because when the rubber meets the road, it's going to be about survival at some point. And stacking the deck to get there is going to help everybody, not just you. And it's about sharing resources. It's about making sure that the next generation has a chance. The point is, it's bigger than you. It's bigger than kicking doors. And every single time that you look at it that way, you're going to get out of the weeds and get out of the anger. Because look, it's frustrating to sit here and watch them run our country into the ground. But ask yourself a question. What can you do about it? You can't do anything about the court rulings. You can't do anything about Congress. You can't do anything about the state legislature. all you can do is out these people for the malfeasance that they're doing and out these people for the crimes that they've committed. All the while, you're organizing and you're building capability in your own community. Those are the most important things you can be doing right now. And getting out of the anger will get you a long ways away from reaction. Because the more angry you are, the more apt you are to respond or to do something out of character. You think it's a... Do you honestly think that it's a coincidence that a cop pulls you over, they come up to your car, and they ask you questions that they know piss you off? They want you to do something stupid so they can walk you to the back of the car. Just like if you commit a crime, they want to walk you into an isolation chamber. They want to sit down with you in an interrogation room, and they want to talk you into the cell. If you cut the emotion out of all of that and know your rights and know how to deal with them, they won't get to you. But that's how the games play. And if you're stepping away from the game and you're not playing the game that they want you to play, guess what? They don't have any power or control over you. And it all starts with cutting the emotion out of it. It all starts with cutting the anger out of it. That's why my whole team is focused on building sphere of influence and line of sight. Because at the end of the day, that's what's going to carry us through this. It's going to be everybody thinking on their feet, everybody contributing. And, you know, some people are going to have to be in charge. You're going to have to trust people to make decisions. And that's hard for this group, I can tell you. I deal with it all the time. After every show, I've got nothing but a plethora of comments about how I should be doing things, especially with music play, which is always entertaining. The point is, we're coming up on the culmination point. We're on the event horizon. We know something's coming. Lose the anger. Lose it now. And don't look back. Stop paying attention to the day-to-day of what they're doing, because you have no control over any of it. Focus on the things you have control over. Focus on the things that matter to you. Focus on the things you want out of this. Focus on the type of government and system that you want to live under when this is all done, because that's way more productive than being angry. Every single time that you succumb emotionally, they got you. Every single time. And they played this script over and over and over again. That's why I highly encourage everybody to read Pawns of the Game by William Carr. And by the way, administratively, I promised two things last week that I'm still working on, and that is a list of gear, a list of the books, and I will publish those to both the Telegram channel, and I'll put them in the comments section of the of Rumble on the Roundtable on Wednesday, assuming I get them all. And I'll also post them to the Substack, and I'll post the link to the Substack on Wednesday so everybody can pull it all down and grab it. There was one other piece to that. It's gone. I've been focused. I've been traveling, so I'm a little bit disheveled right now. But you get where I'm coming from. And, you know, the religion piece of this, the reason why I harp on religion so much is that people are myopic in their viewpoints. And people are completely unaware that they're being programmed using the same belief system. They use your own belief system against you. And part of the reason why I've gone down the road of exposing people all these different ways of thinking and different genres is for one reason only: to break you out of the myopic view of the world and give you some other context. Because context is something most of us don't have. They leverage context or lack of context every single time they release a 15 or 30 second video of somebody getting beaten. Some kind of a catalyst event, they use your own belief system against you using the context or lack thereof. They do it to you all the time. And you know who's the worst culprits of that? Somebody who's deeply religious. You look at something and go, this is the way it is. There is no black and white in anything right now. Everything is a deep shade of gray. And is whether you like that or not, that's the way it is. And in order to survive and to navigate in this environment, look, you can hunker down and wait for God to come and save you. That's not going to happen. Or you can cut your, you can look at the world with a different context and you can decipher what's going on around you and make decisions. The choice is yours. But at the end of the day, I may present things. It doesn't mean I believe those things. I may put a guest on the show that you may not agree with. It doesn't mean I believe in those things. It means that I'm putting somebody on the show that can provide context that's different from our belief system. Because believe it or not, these people use our belief system against us in ways we never even thought possible. And I'll give you a for instance. Go back to 2013, 2014, all the way to today. Pick a movie, especially if it's a sci-fi movie. Pick a movie and watch a movie from each year. I guarantee fucking you, you will see religious, satanic, the cultural narratives, the liberal cultural narratives, women's reproductive rights, policing, environmental. They're laced in every movie, every TV show, everything you've seen, even Christian shows have this shit laced in them. You just have to be discerning and go from scene to scene to scene and pay attention to the dialogue. And look at it for other than entertainment. Look at it for what messaging's in it. I guarantee you, you can go all the way back to 2008 and see this nonsense all the way in 2008. It might be more watered down. It might be less intuitive, but it's there. And if you look for it, you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. They have been doing this for years and years and years. And we bite into it every single time. And here's the example I'll use today. I was watching, what was the show? It was a Godzilla movie. Mindless entertainment, you say. Yes, it was. However, it was shot in 2019. And it was Godzilla, the king of the gods or something like that. The whole movie, literally the whole movie, was laced with environmental. Species dying off, alternative energy. Through the whole damn show, it was literally laced in every single screen. All of the leaders, you know, men were bumbling idiots, women are smarter. It's laced throughout the whole show. And it's a sci-fi movie. Everything that you see has this laced in it, and it's there to generate an emotional response and drive you to some kind of an action. Everything that you see. That's why I say there's loads of gray out there. Stop looking at things in black and white, because there's no such thing as black and white. And at the same time, be aware of your surroundings. The curse that I have is I can't just watch a movie and say, you know, it's entertainment. I see all the narratives in it. I either get mad or I turn it off. I mean, when I watch shows like The Rookie, it's about 3 minutes, I turn that shit off. But you get the point. The point is, you got to have room for gray. You got to think outside the box, and you got to stop being myopic and look at the bigger picture. It's easy to lose sight of the big picture, especially when you're drowning in the day-to-day noise and narrative that they put in front of you. There's so much noise. I'm amazed that people aren't more disoriented. You got to get out of that completely. And I mean completely out of it. If in fact, here is the test for everyone. If you can go 1 week and get to Friday and say, I don't know what the fuck is going on in the news, that's success. Because you won't care either. And that's a challenge for most people, because you look at your phone probably every 2 to 3 minutes. I'm going to say every 2 to 3 minutes. You can get that to 10 minutes and 20, then an hour. Great. I guarantee you that you won't be as agitated. I guarantee you won't be as emotional. And I guarantee you that whatever they say you look at, go, that's nonsense. Everything is designed to amp you up. News, social media, movies, TV, radio, all the same. It's designed to amp you up. The more you cut out, the better off you're going to be, the more discerning you're going to be. Keep that in mind. So I wanted to close with this. There's a video that I posted to my Telegram channel. I'll post it in the comments right now. And it drew a lot of fire today. The good Captain Keschel called me today about this video. And see if I can, how do I copy this link? Not sure I can forward this. Anyway, General Flynn was on, I think it was YouTube, BioClandestine posted it. For some reason, it's not letting me forward it. Anyway, it's in my Telegram channel. And he said that he was asked, you know, would you serve and accept a role in the Trump position? And his answer was, on one condition, that I can do the things I know that need to be done. And I believe that President Trump would allow that. That's a huge admission by Mike Flynn. But what it tells me is that it tells me that they realize that, because remember, Mike Flynn's in the inner circle. And look, I've had my differences with Mike Flynn, but what he's saying right now is exactly what every general officer should be saying. I'll serve in a public capacity, because I'm saying the same thing. I'll serve in a public capacity, whatever capacity that is. But I'm only going to do that if you get the fuck out of the way and you let me do what needs to be done to clean it up. Otherwise, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going there to follow orders. I'm not going there to tote the party line. I'm not going there to cover up malfeasance. I'm going there to bust heads, to clean up the system, and to make sure that our country runs the way it's supposed to, and to ferret out and prosecute every single person that committed treason, malfeasance, fraud, or criminality. No ifs, no ands, no buts. That's what Mike's saying. And I'll give him credit for that, because that is exactly what he needs to be saying right now. In fact, if you're an officer or you're a senior NCO, you should be saying the exact same thing. I will serve wherever asked, but you're going to get out of my way and you're going to let me do the right thing. And you're going to support me when I make the tough decisions. That's the only way this is going to work. And I got to give them credit where credit's due. And the fact that people were listening to, or, you know, saw it and were listening cracks me up, but you know, that's how this has to go. And I'm telling you, these motherfuckers don't want me running DOD, because I will go in there with a baseball bat and it will be a very bad day for a lot of people. That place needs to be cleaned up. And then once we get the internals of the Pentagon cleaned up, to be perfectly honest, I ripped the whole fucking building down. That icon needs to go. We need something other than a pentagram as our symbol for the Defense Department. We need to build a Defense Department that literally is for the people, by the people, of the people, and servants of the people. And that cannot be in a pentagram. Just saying. But I challenge every senior NCO and every officer to that you go and you serve if you're asked, and you do whatever it takes to clean up the system. In total. No leftovers, no do-overs. You do it all. You do it right the first time. No politics, no ladder climbing, no fiefdoms. You go and you clean it up. You do your service and then you leave. That's how this has to go. And Vivek can be the Homeland Security Director all he wants. I don't trust that motherfucker at all. It's a snake. But anyway, that's for another time. We're on the event horizon. Lose the fear. Disconnect from social media. Stop paying attention to the noise. Start getting ready. Start talking to people. Start thinking outside of the box and talking to people. If you have to do some travel to meet people, do that. Look, I know there's people in Maryland. I know there's people in Virginia. I know there's people that are in New York that are in very blue states. There are conservatives around you, whether you like it or not. So remember that. And most importantly, remember, you're not alone. There's tons and tons and tons of us. So keep that in mind. And I'll be back on Wednesday. I'm traveling, so it's going to be another mobile show. I don't know if I can get my freaking camera to work. Couldn't get it to work today. But I'll be back Wednesday with the roundtable. I'm hoping to have Clay Martin on this week's show. Bill Booper was a massive value add to the show. Thanks again, Bill, for being on the show. Matt Bracken will be here this week. Colonel Conrad will be here this week. Troop will be here this week. I believe Colonel Johnson will be here if he's not traveling. And we should have Matt Everett. We'll see. Open invitation for him. I know he's got his own show, just like Clay and Bill. They have their own shows. But yeah, we should be back Wednesday with a good show. And I'm going to try and add as many people to it so we mix it up every week and we have a good bullpen every week. And at least give you some food for thought. Hopefully, if you listened to the last roundtable, you heard a number of differing opinions. You heard a number of different experts in their domain. And Bill Bupert is an asymmetric warfare expert. Matt Everett is an expert at not only preparedness, but the guy trains all the time. And you have Terrence Pop, that retired first sergeant. This guy spends his whole life in training. And you've got a group of experts that have been in this situation before, that are sharing what they know, what they think. And if it gives you anything, gives you food for thought, gives you some comfort that there's a lot of us now paying attention, great. But the rubber meets the road when you take what we're saying and you actually apply it and you start getting your family prepared and yourself prepared. So last thing is I owe a couple of videos. I haven't forgot. I still own a Glock strip down video. I'm going to do that with troops Glock 48 that he was going to cut in half. I'm going to break apart a Glock 26 or 28. I'll do that when I get back this weekend and get it posted this weekend. And I've done a couple of lever actions that I'm customized a couple of lever actions for customer. I'm gonna break those apart so people can see that. So be looking for more content. And I'm still working on the way forward on that channel to get content on that channel. I've talked to everybody in the round table about adding content out there and putting different shows out there. So stay tuned for that. It'll probably take us about, you know, 4 to 6 weeks to get that up and running if we can coalesce and get it all put together. But I'll be back on Wednesday. God bless everyone. One team, one fight.